All right, good morning, everyone. We'll pick up, last week we made it to the church at Philadelphia. And I looked over it this week and I saw a few things that just kind of stood out to me. This is Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. It said, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, and he that has the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth." One way to tell that God has his hands on your life, he'll close doors and he'll open doors. He'll close the doors that should be closed and he'll open the doors that should be open. And when you notice it, it's always wise to draw near to him. 2 years ago, I think it was 2 years ago, Pastor said that the Lord was, he gave, you know, every January he gave a word of prophecy to the church. And he talked about three doors that he would open. And you had a choice. You can go in either one you want to. And just as sure as he prophesied it, it happened. And the Lord gave me, he gave me two choices. And I said, "Lord, I want to go in the one you like the most." And that's the one I went through. And then from there, he gave me the website ministry. And, you know, he's moving. He does things. I left it up to him so that he knows the best choice. But he'll include our will. But the best will is always the one to go with. That's where you'll have the greatest joy, greatest peace, the greatest success. And when you're anointed, you know, whatever he anoints you to do, he anoints you with a purpose. He has people that he, you know, there are people assigned to your life, and he'll help you to. He'll prepare you for it, what's ahead. And faith is what activates the anointing. And faith, Habakkuk said, "The just shall live by his faith." And you have to be in agreement with God. And in this church, they were in agreement with God. And he showed them what to do to continue. All right, he's continuing. He said, "I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name." They had a little strength. They were on the right track. Whenever we have a little strength, if we continue with the Lord, we can have greater strength. We can go forward. And so he set before them an open door and no man can shut it. That means whatever God give you to do, all the impossible challenges, you can rise above it. If God open, he can open a door to Red China if he wants to. And if he wants you to go, you can pray it through and go wherever you have to go. God has methods. He can use the internet. He can use whatever he needs. When there's obstacles, when God opens a door, no man can shut it. You walk right through it, and you'll be there. He said, he wants to build on the strength that we have. Now, they had a little strength. They didn't get rebuked, but they had a little strength. And that's all you need, faith the size of a mustard seed. And if you keep going with it, it becomes greater. He said, "And thou hast kept my word." And that's not always easy in the world system. Things will challenge you. They come to challenge you, change your focus, hinder you in life. But they kept his word and has not denied his name. And that was their challenge. They were surrounded by people that was denying Christ, but they stood. They were steadfast. He said, Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. And things that's false, it'll come against to work, you know, the challenges that came against them, to work against them. They were steadfast. They had a little strength. They probably had more strength, but in fighting, you can lose strength. But they were still steadfast. And the Lord was showing them what to watch out for. He said, Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep them from the hour of temptation. Now they kept the word of his patience. They were steadfast in the things of God. And he said he will keep them from the hour of temptation. And that's the part that kind of stood out to me. They kept the word of his patience. They stayed true under challenge. Everything that worked against them and challenged them, they kept eyes on Christ. They kept, the word of his patience, they kept it. And the Lord will keep them from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. So everybody's under the very same attack. Those that are in the world, they are in a surrender position to the attack. They're in a form of agreement with it, because their lust, greed, and pride keeps them trapped, and they're not trying to get out. And the way that they see things, everything's okay, and if they love the world loves itself. Even people that are countries are and at war, people love the world more than if they love the world, they love the world. There are Christians on both sides. The Christians will be hated by the world, by people of the world, even though they may be in the same army. And the more people love the world, the more they'll tolerate the world, even though they are enemies. And they'll still be at odds against Christians. And because God put he divided his children from Satan's children, and that division is real. But they, you know, that's the challenge. If they love the world system, they love people that do the same thing, and they have a problem with people that will follow God. And then at the same time, there are. The harvest is out there. They are those that will repent. Many people in every generation will repent if they heard the word. If somebody carried the anointing enough to break the yoke so that they could properly see. And when we get the word to them, there are many that will come out, and they're scattered about in every family. All over the land, you know, that Jesus said the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. So a lot of the harvest, people that could be saved won't be, if we don't pray like Pastor's saying. You have to pray for some doors to open. You have to, ultimately, you have to be in full cooperation with God to get the greater harvest. The Lord can train us and prepare us and help us to love them no matter what. And we'll be able to reach people that we can't reach on our own. But through him, if we labor, we can. If we don't labor, we can't. And so he pointed out the problem. The biggest problem is having laborers. People that, not just preachers, but laborers. People that will go in there and get them. And some people would get saved from just mild preaching. And some people have to be labored in. But they're out there. And until they get saved, they'll be an enemy. They can work. The enemy has control in their life. And he said, look at verse 10 again. He said, Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the earth, all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. So people are being tried, but our faith and our love and the guidance of God will help us win souls that we normally couldn't win. He said, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." The enemy has people that work on his behalf and teach wrong, teach lies. And if they get people sidetracked, off focus, then they can the wiles of Satan is designed to get people to back off the things of God. And whenever it works, people and they yield to it and they back off, then they lose rewards because they're not going to earn them. They're not going to gain rewards because they're not doing the things of God again. They've been discouraged. Or their focus has changed. This happened to Balaam. Balaam was doing great until King Balak came with and tempted him with the money and the prestige and his form of honor. And when he changed Balaam's focus, that ended the possible chances of him ever getting the crown. And he was a great prophet. He prophesied some of the things John did in Revelation. But he turned. He turned his heart against God. He became an enemy. And he taught Balak how to curse Israel. And remember, the Lord told Abraham, "I will bless him that bless thee and curse him that curses thee." Everybody that blessed the Lord, Balaam could have been blessed. But he chose the world's way. And he became cursed. And Moses had him killed in later chapters. He caused a lot of problems. And now he is responsible for Baal worship. And it was gone. And it appeared again in Revelation in the church. We just read about it a few weeks ago. So if your focus stay intact, you'll mount up. You'll get stronger and stronger in him. And he said, verse 12, "Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is in Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name." Now this is a great honor. He that overcomes, we overcome the world. In your life, the Lord will make you a pillar in the temple. The pillar holds everything up. In some people's families, there are pillars. The whole family will stay in order as long as that person's alive. And sometimes after, they're gone. Because their influence is so strong, just like a pillar holding the temple up. And the pillar don't leave the kingdom of God. He said they'll go no more out. You'll be in, and you're not, unlike Balaam, you'll stay in. You'll stay in the kingdom of God. And your light is strong, your influence is strong, your advice is strong. And the people that you reach, we bear fruit after our kind. Your children, they'll pick up the mantle and continue. And all the students that made themselves students to you will do the same thing. You'll have more pillars. Some people, they quit prematurely because their focus has changed. But this is a great honor. He will make you a pillar in the temple. And you're going to be a source of strength for others. Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." This is one of the capabilities we have. He said, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him a new name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. So this is a mystery. Jesus is going to have a new name in the kingdom of God, and we'll share it. It's a mystery. Verse 13, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And these are things the Lord really wants us to take note. In communion, I brought these up because he said at the end of each address, he said, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Many times in people in theology, people, they teach a trend, a pattern, and people stick to it. And but when, if you stick to the and they kind of say what God will say and what God won't say, you know, they say, they teach things against the word, like tongues went out or healing went out with the apostles, and people are sticking with that and they're not challenging it. But when you start, if you go, let's say you go to a church that teaches anything the wrong way, and you start going in God's presence, he's going to show you the word. He's going to reveal the word to you. And as that happens, you're going to, you'll begin to grow, and you'll see a difference from the way that people teach and the way God ministers to you in your prayer room. That's what happened to me. And some things I had to undo. I had to unlearn. I had to drive away, and it was mainstream teaching, and it was interfering with my effectiveness. So I had to. I said, I can't teach that anymore. I can't teach wrong. But I made a since I didn't know what to do and I knew it, I said, I'm going to only teach what God give me, and then I'm going to study it and learn from it, and that. That turned out to be a very good decision. That's how I learned to follow God. And the Lord helped me to, he said that was the greatest problem. Every Christian has the ability to rise above every challenge. But you have to be able to, you have to be guided to do it. Okay, we better go back. 1 Corinthians. The Lord has a lot to say, and as he speaks his word, and we hear it, and we can undo the things that have, that works against us. And sometimes you have to take the challenge. Sometimes people won't receive what you say, and they'll, I've had a lot of challenges because of it, because I took God's position. People want you to love what they love and hate what they hate. Sometimes they want you to love who they love and hate who they hate. And I said, you can't, with Jesus, you can't do that. And I love everybody. I love God's people. Okay, and that's the heart of communion. You got to love his people. We all need his help. And everybody's going to do something wrong, but they can do something right too. And they will. But, and the Lord can draw it out. Verse 1 Corinthians 11, verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. I love the Lord, how he moves in our life. And he, his blood prevails. You know, and because his blood prevails, we prevail. There's nothing in this earth that can stop the flow of God in our life if we invite it in. Any comments, questions before we close?
Yeah. I got a comment. Where's the comment there? That key of David, you kind of wonder, you know, you think that was praise?
Yeah. it's at least included in it, the key of David, the honor of David, the worship of David. And that's how we get to know him, to worship. You know, that's how we learn to go in his presence. That was a guy named Greg Hosey. And at the church that when I first got saved, I went to a holiness church. It was Refuge Temple, in North Birmingham. And Bishop Bonner was the bishop, and he was a great man of God. And he was also an iron worker. He was on a job site, and the Lord told him that a beam wasn't bolted. And he looked up, and he said, that beam's gonna fall. And they went and checked it out, and nobody had riveted it. And it was amazing. And you know, he saved lives by doing it. By the time, you know, we knew him, he was a bishop, and he didn't do that anymore. But Greg was taken by it. He was just impressed with him, and he wanted to draw near to God. So he would get off work, and he would worship God at home. Every day for hours, he'd pray for hours. And he'd lead the church in the worship. Mm-hmm. And some people are anointed, and some people are talented. He was talented and anointed. And, you know, like Candace. When you love God, that makes the difference. You can sing, and then you're anointed. And a peace would come over the church when he would lead us into worship. There was a guy named Jerry Frazier. He was the same way. He didn't pray as much as Greg, but he would write songs. And these songs, they would just usher you. People would worship God. And so I learned to go in the Lord's presence. And that's when I started asking questions. I said, Lord, I want you to teach me how to, when I'm in your presence, I feel like I can do anything. I said, this is the way I want to live. And I realized I wasn't going to learn it from anybody I knew. He was going to have to teach me. And then he plotted a course. He had me to study his word. And the word will do that. With the word in your heart, you can rise above anything. And he's always with you, but he can reveal and conceal his presence. To us, it's like he left, but he really didn't. And he can reveal his presence, and we can draw strength from it. And he can conceal it, but he's right there. And so in truth, he was with me wherever I go. I just didn't know it. I drifted. That were things that I didn't know. But he systematically taught me because, you know, we need each other. Well, you know, Greg don't know what a blessing he was, but he was. It's a story how I learned to follow God. There was many people involved in it. But once God pointed it out, I try to share it with others. Anybody can do this. And the key of David, I know that it's at least included worship and praise. Because that's what he did. That's how he became. That was that worship was his communion. He communed with the Lord. And beside all, and he was a fighter. I think many elements build up the key of David. We gotta be fighters too, and contend for the faith. All right, any more? We'll close this part out. Candace, we'll close with prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for all that you're doing in each of us. Help us to do all this in your heart. And, that we may win the loss. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.